Our first reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, the 50th chapter. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backwards. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Here ends the reading. Our second reading is from the book of Philippians, the second chapter. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was born, was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here ends the reading. Gospel according to Matthew, the 26th chapter. When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the place of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of every expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment he sought an opportunity to betray him. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at the table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in a dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Jesus, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so." Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. The Gospel of the Lord. "Surely not I, Lord." You know, that's a question that comes from troubled hearts. And it gets an answer that calms troubled hearts. I don't know about all of you, but when I was in school, more than once I'd get to class and the teacher or the professor would announce that our last test or quiz had been graded, and they'd announce how disappointed and puzzled they were by some of the answers that they had received. And they'd take that opportunity to go over and explain or to give some of the answers that had been given on the test. And now, of course, there's always that one particular student that just didn't get whatever we'd been studying, according to the professor. And this always seemed to happen after a period of time had passed since the test. You know, maybe a long weekend or spring break. And as the professor or teacher was going through the test explaining one embarrassing answer after another, I can assure you that every student was sitting there saying, "That can't be my test. I certainly wouldn't have given an answer like that." But then when the test was returned, there's always someone that realizes that, in fact, it was theirs. Not that anybody ever admitted it. You know, when in our gospel reading today in the upper room, there was something similar but much more serious that was going on. You know, Jesus announced something that was much more disappointing, something that was not just puzzling, was beyond puzzling. He said, "One of you will betray me." There was more than just a grade on the line. Jesus was giving them the results of the testing of their hearts before the tests had even been given. He was saying, "One of you will fail. One of you will show that nothing you have learned these last 3 years with me has made a difference. One of you will trade your trust for treachery." Now, Jesus was speaking in the future tense, and the disciples in that room didn't know whose heart he was reading. And we find them naturally all wondering, "That won't be me.
will it?
And with troubled hearts, they each then asked their teacher, surely not I, Lord. Surely not I. Now Jesus made this stunning announcement while he was eating the Passover meal, the Last Supper, with his disciples. But this wasn't the first time that Jesus had spoken of his betrayal. Early in his ministry, he had told them, one of you is a devil, in John chapter 6. Now, that time, not even Judas would have known who Jesus was referring to. And earlier the same evening, as Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, he had declared, you're clean, though not every one of you. John 13. And you have to wonder, when he said that, did he look at Judas? Because he was obviously trying to let Judas know that he was aware of the plan. And Jesus was trying to call him to repentance. But Jesus obviously didn't respond as he should have, and so Jesus had to abandon his indirect and perhaps somewhat cryptic language in favor of something more direct. One of you will betray me. I ask you to stop and think a minute. Can you imagine the effect that would have had on the hearts of the disciples? You know, in our world today, you know, that statement really doesn't shock us much. Not as much as it would have the disciples. In our world today, there are many that would say, well, we can't really fault Judas, can we? I mean, he did what he thought was right for him, didn't he? Didn't that make it right? But for the other disciples, living in the time that they did, the thought that one of their own, someone who had shared meals with Jesus, who had sat at the feet of Jesus as he was teaching them and had traveled with them, the idea that someone could do something so shameful and so faithless was totally beyond their imagination. And yet Jesus said it was going to happen. And they knew that all that Jesus said always came true. They couldn't wish his words away, so they began to ask him, surely not I, Lord. Now, to their credit, and we do have to give them credit, they didn't start pointing fingers at each other. Okay? They didn't start a witch hunt or whisper, I bet it's him. I never really thought he was as loyal as he should have been, and he's never been as loyal as us. To their credit, they all began to look within. Surely not I. It was directed as much to themselves as it was to the Lord. Still, each of them asked the question because they needed to hear it from their Lord. Because the examination of their hearts led each one of them to realize, to their great dismay, that it could indeed be any one of them. In their hearts, when they looked, they saw sinful pride. They'd just been arguing with each other about which of them was the greatest. They saw all kinds of fears and foolishness and weakness and doubt, and they remembered what Jesus had taught them about how all evil deeds and words of men proceed from a sinful heart. That's why their troubled hearts needed to be reassured. That's why they were necessarily saying to the Lord, tell me, I'm not the one. Surely not I, Lord. You know, self-examination should lead us to the same conclusions and the same need for assurance from our Lord. Because there's more ways to betray Jesus than simply the way that Judas did it. A Christian child or teenager may very well look upon a fellow church member or a family member who goes off to college or off to the military, and they promptly forget their faith and say, that couldn't happen to me. Surely not I, Lord. A married man on a business trip sees one of his colleagues slipping off his wedding ring before heading out for a night on the town, and wonders if he could do the same thing if his marriage got bad. A young, ambitious woman starting a career sees how other women have used sex, lies, and betrayal to get ahead, and worries that her desire for success could lead her down that same path if she wasn't careful. They could all be subject to following those footsteps instead of Christ. And it's the grace of the Lord that provides answers to our troubled hearts when we ask, surely not I, Lord. Jesus could have left all the disciples wondering about their faithfulness or doubting their love, but he couldn't. Not only would his love for them not allow him to leave them with their worries unanswered, but he also wanted to teach them and show them that the place to find strength and certainty was not in their own heart or decisions, but only and entirely in him. So he gave them and us a wonderful gift of reassurance. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. In other words, the Lord's answer to disciples' anxious, self-doubting, troubled question, surely not I, Lord, was the sacrament of Holy Communion. He gave them his love and grace in a tangible form. He gave them salvation, strength, and forgiveness for all their sins by giving them his own body and his own blood, which very soon were to be given and poured out on Calvary's cruel cross. He gave them everything they would ever need. Sinful people need the assurance that their sins are forgiven. We believers need the life and strength that only God can give. And so Jesus gave his disciples his body and his blood in the sacrament, just as surely and just as lovingly as he gave himself on the cross for all people. And when we look into our hearts and are frightened by the lack of faith we find there, we can have our faith strengthened by the visible gospel in the bread and the wine. Doubts, weakness, pride, greed, and irresponsibility, every kind of anxiety, and every kind of betrayal, they're all answered, and they're all dealt with, and all forgiven in our Lord's gracious supper. Let us pray. Father, on this Palm Sunday, as we head towards the cross, we are so thankful for all that you've given us. We're so thankful, Father, for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper that you've given us. And Father, we pray that all would examine their hearts and we'd all change to follow you and to walk in your footsteps. And we're so thankful for all the grace that you've shown us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll now sing our sermon.